Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Brian Dowling is here, your man from the telly. Brian, welcome.
Welcome, how are you?
Your husband Arthur was on to us only yesterday.
Right, what did he say?
Talking about Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, of course.
I thought you might just bring the kids in now. We don't know the whole family.
You know, the kids the next time. You've okay, had Arthur Monday, me Tuesday. We'll have to arrange a date for all of us to get together. This is only my second time. Well, first time properly meeting you.
Yes, this is only the second time in the last month.
Yes, we met just before Christmas.
We did. It was very nice to meet you.
Very nice to see you. Yes.
Of course, I feel like I know you for years and upon years. And it is 25 years this summer since the Big Brother thing made you a star.
Let me tell you, I don't drive. No one's surprised by that. Got into a taxi this morning to come here. And the driver said to me, have you got a show on RTÉ? I said, oh, no, I'm going on Oliver Callan's radio show. And he went, I've not seen you since you were on Big Brother. And I was like,
God almighty.
I was like, oh my God, I said, that would actually be 25 years ago this year. And he had no idea of anything else I've done.
He still knew who you are, so he was clearly lying.
Well, yes, but
how could we have avoided you?
Do you know what? I see clips from that show of 2001 and I was 22 years old. I turned 23 on the show. I annoy myself just by looking at myself. I was so loud. I was so squealy. I was so flamboyant. I had the best summer of my life on that. But literally, it afforded me so many opportunities. People really can speak badly about reality TV, I think, sometimes.
This was the early days.
The golden era of reality TV.
And the public vote must have been enormous in those days.
I think 9 or 10 million people voted in that week for myself or Helen to win.
You should be the British Prime Minister.
I could have been. I actually got more votes than Tony Blair did when he was elected Prime Minister. No one wants that.
And you would have definitely started a war, let's face it.
I would have ended it all over a cup of tea, Oliver. It would have been fine.
So 25 years on the telly and you're doing this show again,
yes,
The Salvage Squad.
The Salvage Squad. Virgin Media starts Sunday at 8 o'clock. We shot this last summer. It's so funny. When I don't know if you're like this. When I do something, I'm working something and I finish it. To me, it's like it's done.
I know.
And now I'm reliving it again these months.
Gone.
Yes, 6 weeks.
You're doing the hard bit now, having to promote the dancing. Yeah.
It's so funny. I forget how many days I had to message Debbie from Animo and go, how many days did they get the designers for the makeover? 3 days and €1,000 budget. They can't buy anything new.
It's incredible.
Upcycle, sustainability, secondhand. We don't say secondhand, Oliver. We say pre-loved.
Oh, that's it. That's better. That's what we'd say about the radio centre in here. It's pre-loved.
It's pre-loved. It's such a fun show. You know when people tell you, you can be yourself? People say that to me all the time. And then I sign up for something, they go, no, don't be this version of yourself. Be this version of yourself. And I feel on radio, you can be yourself. And on the Salvage Squad with Virgin, I can actually be myself. It's not really scripted. It's all me. So can I say and do what I like?
That's handy then, isn't it?
It's easy. But sometimes the director's like, okay, rein it in now. Rein it in. Do a retake. We had so much fun shooting it over the summer.
It's a lovely, homely show.
Yes.
And since we're talking about women and mammies, and Arthur was telling us, he was quite emotional because his mam hasn't seen him much doing this, what he does.
I think she's
only Maria was over.
Been on the show, went to see the show, I think, 5 times.
Yeah. In all
she's
the
gone
time
once
he's been doing
every
it.
Season. So she went to the launch show. I was at home with the girls.
And you spoke a lot about the close bond you had with your late mother.
Yes.
And I didn't know that you were a country lad. So she was holding together a country household.
She was in Rathangan on a shoestring budget. I'm one of 7. So it's myself and 6 sisters. And there's a pregnancy between myself and Michelle. Mm-hmm. So we were in the same class at school and we pretended we were twins because we were too embarrassed when we worked out. I was born in June.
78, even though I say 80.
And Michelle was born in April 79. So there's 10 just barely.
The Irish twins.
Irish twins. So once we found that out, we were slightly mortified.
It's just 25 years of you on the telly. Has to be a dub. He would not have seen a field in his life.
No.
You're
You're
a country
lad. Bog. We loved going to the bog every single summer. We would fight over, this is so dangerous now, we'd fight over who sat on top of the turf on the tractor on the way home. My mom first got on an airplane in 2001 when I was on Big Brother because we'd no money growing up. You know, my dad worked so hard. My mom worked twice as hard with all the kids at home, constantly pregnant, the poor woman. And we'd go to the bog and my mom would make sandwiches. That was almost like a holiday for us.
Yeah.
And we did it every year. And then I stopped doing it when I started to fly because I told my mom I couldn't have calluses or cracks on my hands when I worked at Ryanair. She said, of course you can't, son.
That was a made up excuse.
I was the only son.
She saw right through.
She was fine with all that. So my sisters had to do it. And then Arthur came to the bog in 2020 during the pandemic. We moved home.
Yeah.
And I was living back in my room in Rathanga with Arthur, and he was on the bog, and like, Arthur's a refugee, and he would say himself that was the worst part of his life was the bog. It wasn't the refugee stuff. He was like, the bog is dreadful, I'm not going to the bog anymore.
Did he, Arthur Grunlian, cut turf?
He cut turf, he footed it,
did he
brought it home, he put it away, oh yeah, he put it on the fire, yeah.
You know things about turf then.
I know turf. See, I think people look at me and they go, for God's sake, no, not at all entitled. Me and Arthur have worked hard, and I got my first job, I think, when I was 11, picking up dog poo.
Go away.
Yeah.
You were paid to do that.
I was paid to do that.
We could do with them.
Listen, we are in town, and you're walking Blake to school every morning is dog poo. It really frustrates me.
Oh, it sends everyone mad. We don't even invite texts on that.
Okay, sorry.
You know yourself.
I won't be asked back.
Dog poop.
We'll
do it another day.
Please, when I bring the kids.
But the turf then is cut in the summer, and how long do you dry it off, or would you be burning it that winter?
Oh, you're burning it that winter. You'd bring it home like around August.
Yeah.
And then but the first fire maybe like October.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
You'd be burning it. But then maybe around Easter, you're like, oh, we need to get more again. And it'd be cut again.
Yeah, because it's stacked up, isn't it?
Yes.
Sort of way to dry.
Have
it.
You?
No. We had very good land in Monaghan. Mm-hmm. We didn't have bogs, you see.
Yeah, very snobby.
See the little,
very, very entitled.
See the dig.
Very shady.
Never accused that before. You think about your mum, I suppose, on days like today, your father's still around.
The funniest thing is, my father's alive. I think people thought I was an orphan at one point. People that message me DMs go, oh, it's so hard missing your mum and dad. I spoke to my dad last week. My dad's alive and well in his 60s in Rathangan, loving life with my sisters running around. I miss my mum because my mum and I were like best friends.
Yeah.
And I suppose when you're in your 20s, I used to be probably a bit embarrassed about saying that. Because then when she passed away, I realised we had such a unique relationship. I spoke to her 4 or 5 times a day.
Really?
Incredible woman.
She obviously died very young.
Mum passed at 61 of sudden adult death syndrome. So I spoke to her before she went to bed. I was in LA and then didn't wake up. Her heart was either beating too fast or too slow. But the doctor and everyone told us that she probably would have only been about 30 seconds when she would have realized what was going on, but it was quite quick. She always wanted to pass in her bed. We had a conversation about her funeral the week before she passed away.
Really?
And my mom was so fit and healthy, just randomly what she wanted, how she wanted to pass, and we laughed and joked about it. And the last picture she sent us in our group chat was of her father's grave and saying how graves are quite peaceful and how people should come to graves
more.
Seriously? Yeah, that's why at Christmas I insist on my girls and Arthur and our family going to the grave as kind of a tradition. Just to pay respects. Blake dances on my mother's grave, which I find very funny that she literally dances on. I think my mom would find such humour in that. Blake just loves dancing on my mother's grave.
She's very young. She doesn't know.
She's doing it when she's 20. I think there's something up. She's only 3.
How long ago is that, by the way?
My mom passed in 2018.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how is your relationship with the grief now?
Do you know
grief
and I weren't very good companions. And then I realised I had to be friends with grief to allow grief in and not affect me in a negative way. I talk about my mom a lot. My sisters talk about my mom a lot. We talk about her in our chat, the Dowling siblings. I get emotional at Christmas. Her birthday is in December. You know, I feel sad for her that she's not met my children or my sister's 2 boys, Harvey and Jesse. But I suppose you learn how to live with it. I'm now living with grief. But I can also tap into my emotions about it as well. And if I want to cry, I cry. Like, I don't hide it.
You're a different person to who
you were
before.
I'm a completely different person. My sisters and all of us said that 7 of us, a piece of each of us went in the grave that day when they lured my mum down. Yeah. And I stand by that because I'm probably now quite hasty probably in situations as well. And I probably don't tolerate people as much as I used to because I feel when you lose a person like that and something like that happens, it's so traumatic that you do change.
Yeah.
As a person, which I think is expected.
That's the kind of tax on love that
you
pay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has your relationship with your dad changed now because of grief and his grief you becoming a parent?
Yeah, my father's had to stand up a whole lot more because my mom, Irish mammies run the show.
Yeah.
Be under no illusion. The mammies do it all, right? I'm like an Irish mammy myself, I think. I'll regret saying that online when they come for me. He said he's a mammy. My father now has to kind of stand up a bit more, you know, and remember birthdays. My dad has no idea what month any of us were born in. He dropped my mom to the hospital and then he collected her.
She stored that bit of memory. That's why they say when you literally lose a part of yourself as someone dies. You literally do, because you kind of send your memories over to the person. 100%. Because they always remember those things for
you. Of course. But my dad now was like, what month are you? June. The only boy, Dad. He's like, June. What month is Blake? September. September. So Dad is no reckless. So Christmas now was quite nice.
Personalised calendars.
Yes. It was quite nice to see Dad handing out the cards to the children, giving his kids envelopes, giving them selection boxes. Because it's something my mom was doing for years, and we expected my mom to do it. And now Dad has had to step up and remember. When
I get to him.
When I get a text on my birthday, I'm like, who's told him it's my birthday today? Because he's so not remembering that.
So you would have grown up with the hard work and not having loads, like the rest of us, I suppose, in that era. I'm the same year as you. That's very much.
Are we the same age?
Roughly, yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'm born in the last few days of 1980, 45. Yeah.
Oh, so you're younger than me.
It's all the same, isn't it? All
big, no, you're younger.
Big ball
than
of 40. So the Salvage Squad is very much in the kind of in the spirit of this, our relationship with consumption, the stuff we got through life without.
I think we all live in a world where we find that everything we're doing is kind of negative and bad for the environment, bad for the world. I think what the Salvage Squad does is it educates us, but not in a very aggressive way. I think when you're watching something, you also want to enjoy it. And if you learn something in the process, you go, oh, I know that I know that I might do something.
Yeah.
As opposed to me going, and giving facts and all that. That's not what I'm doing. I feel like I want, from being on the show, even like I have a toolkit at home now.
Good man yourself.
Yeah, I don't.
It's essential, isn't it?
It's essential.
But you're about to say you don't open
well,
it.
Well, Arthur does it now, but we have it. Because I feel like a lot of times people think they need to pay lots of money to get something done. Yeah. You can fix a lot of stuff yourself.
Oh, 100%.
And not even throwing, we don't need to throw everything out. Give something a lick of paint.
What sort of things now has Arthur fixed in the house that you're very impressed by?
I'm always blocking the shower in the ensuite in our bedroom.
Yeah.
But I say me, it's Arthur. He's like Goldilocks with the hair.
I was about to say.
Yeah. He goes up and does that. Or I'm constantly staining tan. We're a lot of tan on stuff.
Go away, put something. Are you?
Yeah, this is not my natural colour.
But there was an invention in Ireland. We were talking to the fella who fixed all that, all the tan stains. From
I've loads of tan stains. Yeah, well, that's Arthur. Good.
You could just stop the tanning.
No one needs to see that. No one wants that. I could do that. Yes, I could do that. Actually, Arthur said that our children aren't allowed spray tan. But I am.
That makes sense.
He's like, they're not having spray tans. Arthur's like a tan. If anything breaks, say a chair falls or something breaks off the side of it, Arthur will come out with the toolkit and he'll fix it.
You're like, throw that in the bin now. Arthur's like, no.
Not anymore. I'm not. I'm like, Arthur, get that toolkit and fix it. And Blake likes to help.
He's going around with WD-40 on the door hinges. Do people tolerate squeaky doors all their life?
Yes. Was that like in a blue, yellow or white?
2 seconds to fix it.
Was it blue, yellow, white
well
tin?
Well done. Yeah, with a red.
With a red lid?
Yeah.
Wow, I got
don't
that
lose
right.
The straw. That's very handy.
The red straw that sticks out of it.
Locks, people with their rusty locks. They don't understand WD-40 is your only man.
Are you quite
Arthur
handy?
Know these things.
Are you quite handy at home?
Oh, you can tell. You grew up in the countryside. You know the same things as I do. Which not? Obviously, other people were fixing things.
Yes. I mean, I was very spoiled as a child growing up. I really was. Like, my mom would be
spared
like,
from the.
What
tasks.
The girls were doing everything, whereas I was doing my homework. But I had to get his homework done. My sister's like, I'm in the same class.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle, go do the dishes.
I thought that would only be leaving cert year only. That happened.
No, I was the only boy.
So come here. The Salvage Squad goes all around the country.
Yes.
Are you picking certain rooms and houses? Give us the gist of it.
I pick nothing, just so you know. I just turn up looking fabulous. A different hairdo.
Tanned
to the limits. Also tanned that was rubbing off on stuff, which people did not like. The instant one as well. Yeah, on the fabric. People didn't like it. There's loads of rooms. Every aspect of the home. Any room you want done, we do. Great designers. Peter and Kathy, they're so much fun. And I never really know what they're going to do until I get into the van. That I don't drive. I think when I
signed,
and also this was an offer. There was no screen test. I got an offer for this. Oh my God, I gotta say yes. And we did season one, and there was a van, and I went, "Who's driving that?" Because I don't drive. So we did get someone to drive the van.
Even they were the like, fact that you don't drive, like
don't drive, or so I can't drive or swim. But yeah, I take my children swimming. Swimming lessons.
You obviously don't drive them there.
No, I don't. Arthur
join
drives them.
In the pool.
No. So our designers are absolutely fabulous. It's so much fun. Watch it. Virgin Media One, Sunday at 8 o'clock. You're confusing me now, Oliver.
Have you learned
what I'm talking about?
About people's, the Irish relationship with the family home as a result of doing this show? Because you're going in kind of salvaging
Actually,
rooms.
I
doing
am very surprised the access we get with a whole camera crew.
Yeah.
Like it's people, I would.
It used to be
do
intensely
that.
Private.
I mean.
Now it's like, just let in crews.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm like perusing in the wardrobe going, oh, wouldn't wear that. Oh, that's nice. What's she got? Oh, in the bedside locker. Oh, go her. Like
hiding things away. Or
no, and I'm a little
screwing the wardrobe
I'm a
shut.
Little nosy like that. But you've also got to be respectful.
Well, it doesn't sound like. It doesn't sound
I
like
just said you've got to be respectful. I didn't say I did. You've got to be respectful.
I'd have a root around in a kitchen if I was allowed.
Well, yeah, but yes.
Oh, they've got their cutlery, their second utensil thing.
I would always say, would you mind if I use the bathroom?
Yes,
can
yes,
I use
of course,
the toilet? Can I get a glass of water?
And you can learn about people which one they send you to. Are they going to send you to the bathroom or the little under the stairs loo?
Oh yeah, the bathrooms I were sent to were quite basic bathrooms. I was not accessed to anything. It was the tan. I was rubbing off and everything. I was slipping down the hall. It was layered on
me. We just put a fresh white carpet and then you're not going there.
And the makeovers are really, really surprising because I think people think when it's sustainability, a 3-day turnaround, do these makeovers and €1,000 budget. Like people are going to go, oh yeah, what are they going to do? And Kathy and Peter are so talented. There was one makeover in a house.
They're the designers.
They're designers, yes.
Yes.
And they did a Peter the makeover and it's one of my favourites ever. It's insane. It was in a children's playroom.
Where was this now? Is this in Cork?
I think it was Wexford. I shot this last year.
Your geography is not great either.
I'm so bad at geography, so I can't drive. I have no sense of direction. Okay.
Should they have sent someone else in to do this?
Yes, maybe. I won't be back for season three.
Wexford could be Cork.
Brian Dowling won't be doing season three of The Salvage
Squad. It was a children's room, wasn't it?
A children's playroom.
So what did it start out as?
It was always a playroom, but it was a little bit chaotic.
Yeah.
It wasn't very organised. Yeah, but it was too chaotic.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I think they needed organisation and it needed a glow up, Oliver.
Very good.
And Peter went in with his paintbrush and away he went.
Right.
And he came under a budget of €1,000. I hate him going over. €1,000, that's all you get.
He used whatever was in the room.
Yes, and you can. Yes, and you can also get stuff in that's pre-loved. Not secondhand, pre-loved.
Pre-loved.
He did something with the ceiling, that's all I can say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that I was very impressed.
What's this about a pink room that alarmed the owners of the property?
That would be episode one.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes, didn't like the colour pink. Didn't want pink.
Wasn't expecting it. It happened.
She got pink.
Oh, my favourite thing in those shows when someone walks in and you can tell they hate.
Can I tell you?
Oh my God.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this, was because if it goes wrong, I want to be there. And I love when the designer goes, and this is the plan. And I go, what do you think? And they go, no.
We can't hide it in Ireland.
What do you think? And they go, well, you know what? It's really not. I'm like, no, break it down. And they go out and I just...
You let them be honest.
I just go...
Because you've gone through their wardrobe. I mean, the least
I've done it all. I know everything. I owe them. I'm kind of on... Whose team am I on, really? I'd say I'm on the homeowner's team against the designer. I would wind Peter and Kathy up. Oh, my God, dreadfully, yes. I think Kathy and I were actually taken aside one time halfway through the season and actually told to stop being so shady to each other. I don't think we ever said one nice thing to each other. Kathy was pregnant on season one, so I had to be nice to her then. And then she came back for season two. I said, the gloves are off now, darling. And we went out. It's so much fun shooting this.
Listen, the nice thing about the show, though, is you don't need loads of money, of experience to cheer up the house. It up.
Yes. A little lick of paint. You don't like those curtains? Get some nice fabric on your footstool instead.
That's a really good thing, by the way.
Thank you so much.
There's upholstery people in the edge of every town.
I knew nothing about upcycling. And upcycling is really a thing. And there's upcyclers out there. And they could transform this if they wanted to. I mean, you probably could.
This has just been done up, this studio.
Oh, this looks gorgeous. I love what you've done here, guys. It's fabulous. It's very blue.
It is blue.
Yeah.
It's a chilly blue.
Matching your shirt.
It is, yeah, yeah. Mm. You're a fashionista too, so I'm kind of worried.
Well, I am currently the most stylish man in Ireland.
Oh, who announced that?
Gossies.
The Gossies. You got an award and everything.
I was VIP before that, I think 2 years running, I think.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
You obviously don't respect the VIP award if you don't even remember.
Oh, no, I am like, I just go wherever I'm given it. And you know what I'm like?
This goes back to your air stewarding days,
Thank
I presume,
you
was
so
it,
much.
Where you had
yeah,
to be?
And you know what?
How long did you do the
I did it for
job?
4 years. I loved
did
it.
You?
I was like 19. I was, you know, at the time, I actually didn't even drink, believe it or not. I loved that. That was one of the best jobs I have ever had. I then became a cabin manager, so I was in charge.
Oh yeah, yeah. So yeah. Bossy.
And it also went to my head. I cannot lie to you. The stuff that we did on board those aircrafts, I don't know how we got away with it.
Well, if they haven't been broadcast previously, I'm loath to.
We loved it. I still know the demonstration off by heart.
Someone is onto us and said they trained in Ryanair with you.
Ooh.
You were the youngest. This person was 23 at the time.
I was 19, I think, yes.
I think this person is on the line, Brian. You have your headphones on, which is very... Aisling, good afternoon.
Hi, Brian.
Aisling, how are you?
This is your life.
Oh, Aisling, take me back to Ryanair. Take me back to 90. What year is this? Are we 97, 98?
97, 98, yeah. And I'm a Kildare woman too, so okay. I used to get the train sometimes with you. I'd jump on at Hazel Hatch.
Yes, I was coming from Kildare or Newbridge.
Yeah. Where in Kildare are you from, Aisling?
I'm Ardclock.
Ardclock.
Near Strathfin. Yeah.
Near Strathfin. Yeah.
Bougie.
That's fancy.
Aisling's fancy.
But you know, Brian, you used to do my hair for me because I couldn't do my hair.
Aisling.
And you said, oh, look, I have six sisters. I can do your hair.
Aisling, let me tell you, no one can do a French roll like Brian Dowling. A French roll or a bun. And this is before the spongy donuts.
I know none of these words.
Yes, I would do a twist, I would do a plait, and I would do the French roll from the top and work down towards the neck, as opposed to from the nape of the neck up to the top of the head.
Are you saying you've done so many women's hair in Ryanair, you wouldn't remember if this specific Aisling, you've done all their hair?
I've done everyone's hair. I was doing hair for everyone all the time. Oh. People would come to me in the crew room before their flights to do their hair.
Aisling, tell us about Brian when he was a young
19, 20.
He was young and innocent and...
True. Believe it or not.
When there was only about, I don't know, there was only a handful of us training. Mm. And some got posted off to Stansted and Brian was one of those.
Yeah.
Mm. And the next time I saw Brian, he was tanned. He had no glasses.
No glasses.
And he had a funky hairdo.
Oh, gel. And, wet gel. Pantene.
He was always destined for greatness. And he used to do hilarious things like climb up into the overhead bin.
Oh, that was dreadful. Aisling, be careful now, honey. Let's tread carefully here, Aisling.
His lawyers deny.
I do remember one time, and this was with this, Aisling, you might know this, because this is an urban myth in Ryanair, but this is the truth.
Oh, yeah.
A passenger told me I could do this. The kid was being really annoying. And I said to the child, if you don't stop, I'm going to put you up there where the bags are. And they were like, no, you won't. And I did. I took that child from the seat and we absolutely did, and we closed the locker. Another time,
a statement from Ryanair denies this incident ever occurred.
This is back in the 90s. And then another time I took out the loud hailer. We kept telling people, don't walk under the wing, you've got to walk around the wing. I took out the loud hailer and went woo woo, and I put I got in so much trouble for that. Yeah, but we had a laugh. It was so much fun.
God.
It was so much fun.
Yeah,
and Michael O'Leary charged extra for that child that was put in the overhead.
Yes. Weigh the child first, then see how much it is. Thank you. But back then...
That producer's joke. I feel bad. He's stolen his joke.
Does he always steal the jokes?
Oh,
there's like 20 people behind
him. I do nothing. So let's hear more from Aisling. Aisling, you worked. You were with Ryanair. What happened to your life then?
Well, then I went into Aer Lingus.
Because she was from Strathfin.
Yes.
Yeah.
She got a glow up.
Rathangan Stansted.
Aer Lingus Heathrow.
Strathfin, you went to Aer Lingus. And you enjoyed your time there too?
I absolutely loved Aer Lingus, really did. And I made lovely friends. And then I had children, and one of my children has a disability. So I have been a carer for 20 years, and now he's 20, and my daughter's 22. But I cherish the memories. Flying is great crack, and I just thought
Aisling, we did laugh every single day, and it does feel like it was a lifetime ago. We had no responsibility. I had no morals at some points, I'll tell you that. We really didn't have much money. And we were just finding out who we were as individuals, and you come to terms with your sexuality, with everything, you're experimenting. There's so much going on. But I look back on that time as the best time of my life.
Yeah, it was good. Good crack.
Good crack, you see, that's what we did.
Good crack. Aisling, you are a person full of optimism and positivity. Thanks for chatting to us today.
Not at all. Lovely to talk to you.
And
Brian.
All is good as home.
I
know the life of carers is very tough. It's a full-time job, but you're managing.
It is. Managing, yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Oliver.
It's love, isn't it? Thank you, Aisling.
Thank you.
Happy New Year,
bye,
darling. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
That was lovely.
Oh, that was so nice. Can I come here every day and reconnect with someone I've worked with?
I forgot what I was talking about. No.
The Salvage Squad, Sunday nights, 8 o'clock, Virgin Media 1 and Virgin Media Play. Because I forgot what we're talking about. But always go back to the plug.
Absolute promo queen, aren't you?
Just queen.
But by the way, it sounds like Arthur in the relationship is doing everything. He's fixing up the house. He's driving the kids.
Yes.
But he's mad busy with the dancing.
Well, yeah, but that's 11 weeks of the year.
He's also dancing outside of the dancing.
He's constantly.
You're very good at doing the duties.
I think, like, you know what it's like. When you're in a good relationship, you know you're in a good relationship. But I always say, both of us are very lucky, I suppose, that we've found each other because we do complement each other. I think you have to compliment your partner in some ways.
Did you do a 10-year renewal of vows?
It was really low-key.
The winter time, was it?
You did it in August.
We did it in August.
Summer.
Very nice.
July 30th, our anniversary, and we did it at the bank holiday.
But it was sometimes people just do it just because it's 10 years, but lots had happened in between.
Well, lots had happened. And Arthur didn't have a 40th because of the pandemic. How I wanted to get it over the line, really, was because I said to Arthur, we'll obviously acknowledge your 40th as well. We didn't do that. I just wanted to have a big second wedding. But I had to kind of convince Arthur. I have to go to Arthur like almost like with my brief and what I want to do, and then he'll give me the kind of the thumbs up.
Oh, so it wasn't a small affair. Was it a bit of a hoolie then?
It was a 3-day thing.
A 3-day?
It escalated.
Renewal of vows.
It escalated. It escalates quickly. We had a pre-day. We had the whole big wedding thing outside in Paris Court. I think it was on the helicopter pad area. Like, it was pretty overlooking the mountains. It was out there, and then we had
And that's where the wedding was, in Paris Court.
Yeah, but it was inside in another area when we got married 10 years. Very fancy,
Very
fancy. I'm not in the bog anymore.
You're fancy people, though. You're well out of the bog.
Well out of the bog now. And then we had a barbecue and a breakfast the day after.
Oh, go away.
Yeah, like, it was fun. It was great that my mom wasn't there. It was great that my children were there because my mom obviously wasn't there because she's no longer alive. So, yeah.
But it was marking all of that had happened.
Of course, yeah.
And then it was introducing Arthur to the idea of notions. Irish stuff, that was the whole thing.
Yes,
it?
I mean, Arthur doesn't really have notions. I mean, I have notions. Arthur really doesn't have notions.
And Arthur, just been himself, really.
Yes, and Arthur does kind of, he kind of makes me, Arthur's my accountability. And that's the thing. It was always my mother. I feared my mother. I think a lot of Irish sons and daughters probably fear their parents. I think we should fear our parents. I don't think my kids fear me.
Is
but
it true
they fear Arthur.
She would summon you home to Ireland sometimes?
I'd be summoned
when she thought.
Home. She'd ring me and she'd say to me, "You've not been home in a few weeks. Get your arse on a plane and apologize."
She wouldn't even have to say it. She would just say, "You haven't been home for a few weeks," and you were booking.
Gone.
Booking home.
And Aer Lingus, kind of obviously, from Heathrow. Things had changed. We were no longer going to Stansted.
Left the bog. Left
there was Stansted. A glow up. There was a glow up. Yeah. She would summon me home and then she'd say to me, "What are you doing in the papers wearing that? What'd you say that on the radio?"
Oh, would she? She sat you down.
All the time.
What a brilliant
Yeah. And even I could have the success I did in the UK. I was very lucky. Whatever. I'd be on Ireland AM. Oh, the homecoming. The sun is here. He's on the television. He's on the radio in Ireland. That's when she realised. She didn't care about the UK.
What would she not like you wearing, incidentally?
Oh, anything that was too tight, that was see-through.
Her,
most of the stuff
right.
I wear now, lungy, she'd be like, oh,
You can hear her voice as you're putting it on.
And she used to always say, "I didn't dress for my age." She's turning her grave now when she sees what I'm wearing.
That was a wicked
She'd say to me, "Get a size bigger." Jade.
Thanks a million for the crack. The Salvage Squad returns for 6 episodes from this Sunday at 8 o'clock on Virgin Media 1 and Virgin Media Play. Brian Dowling Garulian.
Thank you for the full name, Oliver, because they're two very different people. They're two very different people.
Good luck. We'll talk to you again.
After this, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a year's worth.